I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. Good to have you with us today. The end of 2017 allows us to put some things into perspective. Hey, that's one of the reasons you come to us, to see how this crazy jigsaw puzzle of a world actually pieces together. If 2016 was the year that Russian trolls hacked the U.S. election, 2017 has been the year of the evidence taps opening wide, showing us how Russia did it. We'll be looking into that in a moment, but first to Russia's own upcoming presidential election and why Russia's Central Election Commission decided that the most high-profile opposition candidate and a leading critic of Vladimir Putin won't be allowed to run against Putin. The commission ruled yesterday that an embezzlement conviction made Alexei Navalny ineligible. Navalny claims the conviction was politically motivated. Reporter Charles Maines in Moscow joins us. Just remind us, first of all, who Alexei Navalny is, Charles.
Well, Alexei Navalny is he started off anyway as a blogger who was focused on corruption issues in Russia. He rose to prominence in the protest movement of 2011-2012. That's when you saw tens of thousands of Russians take to the streets to protest what they saw as illegitimate elections, both for the Duma initially and then for Vladimir Putin's return to the presidency in 2012, which became his third term in office. From then, he's really gone forward to then run a campaign for the mayorship of Moscow, which he lost, but he got a sizable percentage of the vote. He's certainly become a thorn in the Kremlin's side in the ways that he's managed to leverage not only the internet, but also social media in terms of like a YouTube channel. It seems to cut through this general ban on state television of his platform and his ideas, and still seems to manage to connect with Russians.
Navalny is asking Russians to boycott the election. What is his strategy there, and will Russians listen?
The strategy here is really focused on the turnout. I think a lot of people, if not everybody, maybe except for Alexei Navalny, think that Vladimir Putin is headed to a fourth term in office in March. So in some ways, this is the most unexciting race in the world. But on the other hand, it really becomes the question of how he wins. This election is more about legitimizing a fourth term for Vladimir Putin rather than just winning. And for that, you need a mandate. You need a good percentage of people coming out and giving, you know, Putin a sense that he has the Russian public behind him. One problem with that is if you're running against nobody, nobody really feels that they have to come out.
I mean, why wouldn't Putin, just for the optics of democracy, let one strong candidate face off against him?
Well, he would argue that they have strong candidates. There are certainly a slew of candidates that have risen. And today, for example, we saw the approval of the candidacy of Ksenia Sobchak. This is Putin's goddaughter. She's a socialite. She's a liberal opposition member as well, and presents really a more sort of conformist view of the liberal opposition here in Russia. And she's essentially arguing for change, slow change in Russia, although she wants essentially the same things Navalny wants. But I don't think anybody sees her as a threat. She doesn't see herself as a threat to Vladimir Putin's rule or any chance of an election victory.
Would it make sense for Navalny supporters to vote for this other candidate, Ksenia Sobchak?
Well, one of the theories is that's what she's there for. So whether Ksenia Sobchak is her own person or whether she's in fact a Kremlin project is much debated here. She might be both, frankly. And so the idea that somehow she can appeal to some of these liberal democratic opposition members, to younger Russians as well, you know, it's certainly a possibility. And she's running a campaign. She's put together a campaign staff. It's just getting off the ground now. You know, the problem is you have these people who are invested in Navalny, these particularly younger Russians who like him and see him as their candidate. And by denying him this chance to participate and even denying him a chance to lose, you're alienating them from the democratic process and leaving them no choice but to go to the streets.
I always think of presidential elections as ramping up at least 2 years before they happen, but that's my mindset here in the States. Are there any Putin for president posters anywhere yet?
You know, there are no Putin for president posters yet. We saw the calendars for 2018 start to ship out pretty early, and it was President Putin for all of 2018. There was also a funny slip up actually from one of the state wire services mentioning a meeting that President Putin was set to hold with the Japanese prime minister in May of 2018. The only problem is that technically nobody knows who's going to be president.
Hmm. We're about to talk about Russian trolls in the 2016 campaign here in this election in the States. Have you heard any concern from the Kremlin that the U.S. might stage some counter misinformation campaign in next year's Russian election?
Absolutely. They've been holding hearings in the Duma here for months now. Against the backdrop of all the hearings that we have in Washington, looking at alleged Russian interference in the American elections, they've had the sort of the mirror process going on here in Russia, singling out the possible interference by either the American Secret Services or by journalists here in Moscow working for various companies. And somehow the idea was they might try and interfere with this vote in some way.
All right. Reporter Charles Maines in Moscow. We'll leave it there. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Margo.